to you today, I want to call my message, Eternity in Our Hearts. You know, recently we've hosted ministers with whom we work in the nations. And also in September, we'll be blessed by the ministry of Jeff Collins, who's headquartered in Cyprus. It's really important that we understand what our part should be concerning ministry to the nations. And it occurred to me, first it occurred to me, and then it became a burden to me, that I want us to all understand what the Word of God says about having a heart for the nations. And I know that in some churches they are not involved this way, or maybe not even at all. But it has become an integral part, the warp and woof of what we have done here. And God just arranged it all. We didn't make it happen, but He took us by His Spirit a step at a time. You know, our calling as believers is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. This is called the Great Commission. Every believer in every church has this call. It's part of what is meant by following Jesus. And do you know that some people are not aware? A great man once, Oswald Smith, I think it was, preached a sermon called Bringing Back the King. And it hasn't been emphasized very much that we hasten the return of the Lord by our involvement of bringing in the harvest of the nations. The scripture says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. It's not going to come until that happens. But the interesting thing is, it just about has happened. I could give you some statistics. Statistics. That's the way neatniks talk. John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not the sin of Kingsport, though that would be great. But the sin of the whole, it's about the world, church. John 3:16-17, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not what it's about, church. But that through Him the world might be saved. You know, there's been a great change in the past 100 years. Christianity is the largest religion in the world. Some people don't know that. Over 2 billion out of 6.9 billion people are Christians in the world. There's been a great revival and influx of Christians in the last 50 years, particularly. Korea had no Christian witness in 1900. Can you imagine? Today, Korea is more than 30% Christian and has the largest church in the world there. In fact, you might have known that Chris Vallotton prophesied that North Korea was going to change its position altogether and was going to become a helper to other nations. Now, so far we haven't seen the help, but we have seen a change, right? Yeah. Things are changing. Latin American Christian churches are growing at the rate of 3 times the growth rate. When the Hotobichi Church was built in Brazil, and they placed an order for pews for their sanctuary, they ordered a half mile of pews. Whoa. Now that's getting on with it. The church in Africa was only Christianity in Africa was only 9% in 1900. Today it's a mind-blowing 48%. Much greater than America. Now, I want us to understand about the revelation of God's plan. Ecclesiastes 3:11-12 says, He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. The King James Version says He has set the world in their heart. Not worldliness, but a concern for the world in their hearts. Meaning the love of the world that God had, which caused Him to send Jesus, has now been put into our hearts. And church, it's a revelation when it comes to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that everybody doesn't care about the nations. I know that everybody doesn't know about the nations. I know that pastors come and go and they will never even be involved with the nations. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He begins to do a work in your heart that causes you to love the nations. Why? Because He loves the nations. And He begins to put His love in your heart for you to begin to fulfill that. The scripture says we are co-laborers with Him in the harvest. When He begins to put this into our heart by His Spirit, He's revealing to us His love for the harvest and the price He's paid for the world. And I wanted to share with you how God has connected us with world leaders so that we can work together to harvest the world. You know, in 1978, we first went to India with John and Ann Jimenez. And then, as we ministered in India, we began to train the Indian leaders in our Bible school, which was here for about 10 years on campus. And those people went back, as Ernest and Rachel shared with you when they were here very recently. How many of you think that the Holy Spirit could have lined it up for us to have a summer this year of refreshing about that vision? And with that refreshing, He will bring revelations. So first came Ernest and Rachel, and then came Kenneth and Lydia, and we're going to be having Jeff and Millicent in September. And these are those that we work hand in hand with in other countries. So we began to train the Indian, just the leaders they sent here to the school. And those leaders went back. I don't know if you heard what Rachel shared, but so many of them went back and they built churches, they built orphan homes, they built worship centers. I'm talking about they built large and influential works. And some are even involved in introducing new music, even on TV and all kinds of things. It's tremendous what they've been able to do. This relationship formed a bond that is by the Spirit with us that will last for eternity. And Kenneth and Lydia shared with you how they came to our school in both in 1983 and in 1987. I didn't know all that story he told you. I really didn't know. You know, when Lydia laughed and told the story, they must not know who we are. We didn't. And I really did not know that he preached to 10,000 when Bonnke wasn't there. Hallelujah, this is great. And so he came back again in 87, twice they were here. But he shared with you what they have been able to accomplish, what his plans are for South Africa. And they're in our hearts. On Saturday, I worked a little while to try to help line them up a prayer summit in Johannesburg with Duncan Williams that would draw 50,000 people. Working with Augustine, with Kenneth, and Augustine talking directly to Duncan Williams, wherever he is in Africa, I think. And that this would prepare the members of their Christian Democratic Party spiritually to take on the task of running the campaign. What a party. What a political party that starts its campaign with a huge prayer rally with instructions from one of the greatest prayer leaders in Africa as to how to pray against all the wicked spirits that are binding Africa in darkness and give them lessons and impartation in how to pray through that and to how to bring the walls down. I learned just recently the tremendous scope and influence of their ministry. I just read about their 25th anniversary, so that's been a while ago. It's online. I could have read it any time. I just discovered it. They have numerous outreach, such as a free medical clinic, caring for unwed mothers, helping people replace abortion with adoption, teaching people skills so they can earn a living. Being powerful in prayer, they were able to quell the violence that the politicians could not stop in the areas. The spirit of violence and death was put out of the community and peace was restored. What the officials, the politicians, and the policemen could not do, prayer did. And, for example, just an example, they shut down a brothel in their area and an abortion clinic. by using Holy Ghost weapons of warfare and strategies given by the Holy Ghost. This is all in that article. Nice magazine article. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Wherefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Jesus said that we are to pray, "Come, kingdom of God, be done, will of God." Our work is through prayer and the Holy Spirit to bring the power of heaven to earth so his kingdom can be established. Jesus said, "When I cast out demons, the kingdom of God has come near to you." That's a demonstration of the kingdom. Jesus builds his church, the ecclesia, to be the franchise agent of the kingdom of God on earth. The idea is for the church to be such a picture of the kingdom that those who come to be a part of the church go out from the church and spread the contagion into the darkness. Kingdom means the domain of the king, the people where Jesus reigns. Paul said his kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When the sick are healed, when the oppressed are set free, the kingdom is in demonstration. On any given Sunday here, when those things happen, the kingdom is being demonstrated. In fact, the very fact that we are here and that we have property and that we have houses and we have places where we worship and do all of these things is an imposition into the culture of the kingdom of God. Right here, this is kingdom lifestyle. What you believe, how you live. And the kingdom lifestyle is more than my little church. I hope I get the color carpet that I press them to get. It's more than I hope my children get this kind of program and I hope they sing this kind of music. Oh, the kingdom of God is about getting for Jesus what he died for. It's getting over ourselves and into the reality of what he called us to. When William Branham couldn't even get out of his own house after people found out about the kingdom power that was working through him, people were saying, "The kingdom has come. This is where you can find it." They actually were telling each other as they drove to his home, "The kingdom has come." They didn't know what they were looking for. They just knew this was outstanding and outrageous. I talked to an Italian pastor once. Jane might remember his name. She was with me. What I remember, Kenneth Stracy. Yeah, and what I, it isn't funny, his name just came to me. What I just remembered is, you know, they were Italians, you know, like Jimmy. And so we walked into the room, and she said, "Sit." And we were so startled because, you know, we're raised in the South. We're, "Honey, sweetie, darling, would you like to have a seat here?" And I just remember that so much. But they were wonderful people. We just loved them. And he told me about the time that he went where the people were gathering around William Branham's house. And you couldn't even get in. And here's what he said. I loved it. He said, "I saw so many miracles that I cried until the front of my shirt was wringing wet. I was so overwhelmed, I just felt like I was in heaven." You know, in numerous parables, Jesus explained what the kingdom is like. The Sermon on the Mount's a picture of kingdom behavior. Now, so what we experienced and what we have experienced and what I was hoping that I could give you a little picture of is kingdom relationships. And to understand that we have a number of people that we have relationships with that are just, they're very different. I need you to go down, Jay. They're very different from just the ordinary relationships, and they're not at all like political relationships that you might possibly have in the church. But they're brother and sister. I'm for you. I'm for your success. I'm here to help you. I'm here to pray you through. I mean, anytime that you know people have a kingdom mentality about we build the kingdom together and what we're doing is for everybody. I remember Richard Hilton, I don't know if he said this publicly or he just said it to some people when they were here for the pastor's conference. But he said, I remember when Pastor John said, oh, you don't have a PA system? We got an extra one here. You can have it. And it took me back just a little bit. I'm not sure I was quite ready to say that yet. And because we were just living on a shoestring ourselves, which hasn't really changed very much. But Richard has never forgotten how we wanted him to succeed. And John said, here, you take this PA system. We can manage it somewhere. What is that? That's a kingdom relationship. So when Kenneth shared with me that he wanted to meet Duncan Williams, because everybody knows in Africa, they call him the father of the charismatic movement in Africa, in the country of Africa. And he said, I just wondered if there was any possibility that I could get Duncan Williams to have a prayer rally for us and teach us how to pray. Because, by the way, he has relationships with a lot of presidents, Duncan Williams does. And he knows about the spirit powers that are working because he himself was involved in witchcraft. That's what he got delivered out of. The fact of the matter is, the Africans have told me stories. They're almost like Santa Claus. You just don't know if you can quite believe that far or not. How unusual it is in some of those witchcraft realms. The things they can do, the powers they have. And that's because the altars of wickedness have been built for so many hundreds of years and are so deep, and the power is so greatly entrenched there that the occult has great powers. And the people are afraid of the witch doctors. But people like Duncan Williams have understanding about praying to overthrow these wicked and dark forces. And so Kenneth, I could see Kenneth very much desired that and felt it would be a real key. So we really worked on that, and it looks like it's going to work out. I probably will have that big rally in October. And I just thought, you know, this is really a wonderful thing, how when you're building the kingdom and when you have kingdom relationships, what you want is everything that will help the other one prosper and reap his part of the harvest. I mean, really, when you really are like that, when you're into that, when you get to be a world Christian with a kingdom mentality. I remember when I was in Ghana visiting with Brother Duncan Williams, and T.L. Osborne was speaking there. And I spent a little bit of time with T.L. Osborne's right-hand man that worked with all the missions things. And he saw that I was genuinely interested in all of these things. And here's what he said to me, and it'll crack you up as Americans. But here's what he said to me in all seriousness. He just sat back in his chair and he said, well, now if you don't mind taking responsibility for it, I'd be happy to let you and your ministry have all of the stands. What are some of the stands? Don't know the names of the stands? Yeah, not Pakistan, but the others around Russia there. Yeah. All of them just left me all of a sudden. Kazakhstan and all of those. You could have those stands, and we just make you accountable for the mission activity in those places. And I thought, hello, you're talking about half the size of the United States. I don't want the stands yet. I didn't say that. I didn't say anything, but I was pretty sure I didn't need to pray much over it. But why did he do that? Because he's a kingdom man. And he knows that we'd have a kingdom relationships. And we just absolutely would trust each other, and we would try to help each other and meet each other's needs, and together we would reap the harvest. That's the beautiful things. So these people that you've met recently, the Kamanapalis, and then recently the Meshwas, honestly, I didn't know that they were so outstanding in their country. They have a tremendous reputation there. And he created the African Christian Democratic Party. And it's, as you know, as he said, is running for president. It will be in April of 2019. And just knew that if he would come here, he said, I came to visit with you and with Reinhard Bonnke because I know that you're the two that will help me in prayer. And you will give me input, and in this case we were able to help him with some connections. See, I'm just trying to give you a picture. It's just the funnest thing you can do. And it just makes it seem so small. You know, in America, in churches, you read a lot of articles on consumerism in churches. Everybody understand what that is? I go to consume for that church what I want for me. And if it's not exactly the way I want it, then I'll try to get changed. Or I'll just go to another church and consume there. Without the thought of, I'm a part of this church. I build this church. If we have a problem, we have it. We all have the problem together. I'm committed to what God's doing here. I'm committed to the brothers and sisters in this church. We have a kingdom relationship. We've got to rise up out of this selfish church mentality, you know? And I believe the Holy Spirit's going to reveal that to us afresh. So I wanted to read this where Paul talks about this relationship, 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all. So we know he's a southerner. Making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. See, he said, we thank God for you. We can thank God for these relationships we have. And as we're related, to see how the people are flourishing, how we can help them flourish, so that we're building together, it gives us so much power to work together. You know, Kenneth, he almost begged for, you know, I have a 10 CD DVD set, 10 sets, 10 DVDs. It is a set. I do speak English, even on Sundays, I really do. And because he wants all the people that he's training about prayer to take this 10-hour study, you know, it's what I do for the CLST college. And he wanted that so much, and I guess he didn't realize just what it was till it was almost time for him to leave, and he said, you trust me, you trust Brother Bonnke's duplicating equipment. I promise you, if you'll let me take it to Florida, I'll mail it back overnight, because it's the only one I have. It's the, what do you call it? Master, it's the master. Well, if you guys weren't preaching today, we wouldn't get this done. It was the master set, see? And that's a lot of work, my gracious, 10 hours. And so I allowed him to do that. But he called me and he said, I think I'm just going to have to send it back to you. I'll overnight it to you, but I couldn't get it copied because Brother Bonnke is sick right now and his PA is gone, and I just can't do it. You know, he doesn't run the church wherever he is down there. And I said, well, let me think about it. Maybe there's some way we can work this out. And so I checked around a little bit, and I called my pastor friend in Tampa, Debbie Camellis. And I that's as close as I could get to West Palm Beach. And so I said, what are your ideas? Do we know anybody down there near that could do this copy for me and so forth? Well, the one they found sounded a little bit too gnarly for me to work through. And so then she got the name of the place that makes the copies, does it right there in the city of West Palm Beach, and gave me that, texted me the whole picture, just where to call and everything. I don't think they would probably do it on Sunday, though, you know, that was the problem. And so our final decision I just made, I'm going to trust God with this. I'll get Destiny Image to make me another copy, because it's up there right now where they're working on it to put, they're going to put it on Amazon and make it available as a course that you can teach on prayer. So I, since we're just in the process of all this, I'm going to say, hey, I wonder if you'd do me a big favor. But we do these things for our friends. I felt the Holy Spirit said, I said, Lord, please help me communicate this, because I want people to know what a privilege it is to be able to work with people that are just doing such multiplied, wonderful things in the earth, and we get to be a part of all these things. So Paul says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So this is what happens in our hearts when we want to be a part of the big picture that's happening in the earth, to be part of what God is doing. We become filled with the desire established by working with those who have the same revelation. That we believe this thing together, and we're not just working for something we can get out of it. You know, for example, the Hiltons were so kind the day that Jimmy went inconveniently for a little trip to the hospital on that morning, how quickly they just jumped in there looking toward our conference and said, you just tell us, we want to help you with this. We can't build the kingdom without relationships. Now, you can go ahead and have your own little personal kind of church, whatever you want it to be. You can just keep on building that thing. But to build the kingdom of God, the largeness of what he's doing, and fight the kind of attacks that the devil makes on people who are really doing him some damage, we have to work together. And it's just wonderful, the relationships. And by the way, these relationships are eternal. Because he said eternity in our heart. I've had these friends forever. I've known the Jimenezes since the early 70s. In fact, I think she was the first preacher, Ann Jimenez, was the first one that we ever invited to preach here in our barn loft. That's what was before we had any of our other places. And she preached in the barn loft. It used to be out where the parking lot is. And we tore it down. It was a great cathedral. It was air conditioned. It had this type of ceiling, really. And I got to try out some sermons with the chickens who would come to sit up on the banister rail. And I would make a good point, and they'd say, "Walk." That's when I learned that chickens' eyes glow from left to right instead of north to south. I was just amazed to find that out. So, to be a part of what God is doing, we become filled with the desire established by working with those who have the same revelation, so that it's no longer just about us, ourselves, our church. Now it's about a part of what God wants to do for his own glory in the world and not for our own glory. Therefore, we all build up one another, help and serve one another so that his purpose is accomplished. That's why Kenneth was exhorting us to be thankful for those that help build us and make us who we are. It's a different level and a different kind of relationship. You know, some people never do really develop appreciation. They don't seem to know how. You know, Miles Monroe, he has this sermon he preaches so heavy about purpose. He used to preach. He's preaching in heaven now. But, you know, he said, purpose. If you don't understand the purpose of a thing, you'll abuse it. Some people don't understand the purpose of relationships, so they abuse them. They don't know that it's to build you up and to love one another and to help one another, and that you're there for the duration. You don't break off relationships with kingdom relationships. They're going to go on for eternity. Now, people will pass through our lives. We may have nice, sweet relationships with them, but I'm talking about what the Holy Spirit does. It's really a wonderful thing. Because he has set eternity in our hearts, we have his eternal plan foremost in our minds and our desires. I wanted to leave this scripture with you. Some of you may or may not be familiar with. Psalm 2, verse 7 and 8 says, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Now this is the Father talking to Jesus. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now, this is not a fairy story. This is the Bible. The Father one day said to Jesus, His begotten Son, His only begotten Son, I want you to ask of me, and your inheritance is going to be the heathen. Now, I don't know about you, but I want an inheritance. Among the heathen. I don't want just recirculated Christians. But heathen. People that aren't going to argue with you because they know more than you do. You know, heathen don't do that. They ask you how to be healed because they don't know. They ask you how to be delivered of their demons because they don't know. I just went to Mozambique and just preached to a wild crowd out there about how to be delivered of demons. You would never do that evangelistically in America. Everybody come to the big meeting at Freedom Hall. Sue Curran's going to preach on demons. It won't work. But in Africa, because they know, listen, in America, we just don't know that our demons are eating us up. Because we're so smart, we're just too smart to believe things like that. But in Africa, they know that there's a black force against them. So here comes a woman, even though she's white and strange looking, that tells me that a man named Jesus can set me free. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, how, mama? That's the way they are. All right, mama, tell me how to do this thing. And then they'll do exactly what you tell them. Now, that's why it's so wonderful to inherit the heathen. Then you can just bring them into the kingdom of God. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. So the Father has promised to Jesus, the heathen, for his inheritance. And Jesus has said that we are co-laborers with him in the harvest. And what he inherits, he's going to share with us. He shares relationship with the heathen with us. And they become people that we love and pray for. And they're in our hearts. And he empowers us to reach out to them because that is his heart. The Moravians had this slogan, to win for the Lamb the reward of his suffering. To win for the Lamb that was slain the reward of his suffering. Let's say it again. To win land that was slain, the reward of his suffering. Jesus did all of that suffering. And his reward is these heathen the Father promised him. Son, if you just ask of me, this is what I'm going to do for you. Now Jesus had to die for it. He had to go. And if we really win the heathen, we may be inconvenienced. We may not always sit in front of a fan drinking cold iced tea. There may be difficulties. We may have to give up something. We may be inconvenienced. But the wonderful thought that we could partner with such marvelous ministries all around the world, and as time goes on, you'll meet more and more of our friends who are doing such a wonderful work. And I thought about this, you know, this nation and the heathen and the lost in this nation, the opportunity that the Lord has given me, which just totally amazed me, to minister in Washington, D.C. the end of September, to speak there, this is what the invitation was, out of your book, Spiritual Breakthrough, which is about being healed from the inside out, because the message is not being against anything. The message is about healing and empowerment. In this case, particularly for women, because of the sex trade and all the things that have gone on, women have been so beaten down. All of the things that have happened, this is a meeting to lift women up in Jesus and to empower them. But my thought was, there's supposed to be between 75 and 100,000 people gathered there at an outside venue. We're going to make a lot of new friends. I don't understand. It makes me scratch my head way out here. Sometimes I think, how in the world do these things happen? This is such an amazing thing. I've already had a couple of people from here volunteer. We would be happy to go and run your book table if there is such a thing. It gets exciting, doesn't it? It just gets exciting what God is allowing us to do. And so my hope today is, I sort of felt like Kenneth, you know, he said, I don't know whether to preach or testify. But I thought today, I don't know whether to sermonize or explain. But I just sort of feel like we've got to understand that if the Holy Spirit can help me bring understanding, then you can get revelation that can only come by the Holy Spirit. Then when we pray about these things, you'll have a fire. Wasn't it a privilege to pray for Kenneth and Lydia and bless them and send them off to try to win an election that would save South Africa maybe from being destroyed? Because he shared with me privately, and I don't think I'll do it over the internet, but how they know that there are people there that are poised to take over South Africa, and how their plan is to establish righteousness to displace that. It's the only answer. It's the only answer. But to be able to have a part, so when we pray about that, then we're praying about the inheritance that Jesus died for. Can we say that we can really love other people in other nations as much as we love people in our own nation? As much as we love people in our own family? As much as we love our husbands and our wives? Well, we can do it if the Holy Spirit does it, and if he gives us grace. Otherwise, we'll just be as selfish as natural man is. Is that right? I put up my hand to say, until God started doing these things to me by his Holy Spirit, I was a disciple. Just like so many of the others, I really didn't know a lot that was going on. I was just trying, but trying really without understanding and without very much revelation. And I declare today that revelation is going to come into this house. Come on, put your hand up and receive it. We just receive revelation today, Lord. In the power of the Holy Spirit, give us a revelation of the nations of the earth. Give us your heart for the nations. Give us a revelation of being kingdom people, kingdom-minded, joining hands in hand with people all over this world who are after the same thing that we're after, which is to win for the Lamb that was slain the reward of his suffering. I praise you and I bless your name, Lord, that you would call us to such a high and holy calling that we're just not here to try to do better or to get by or get out of our pain, but we are here, Lord, to establish your kingdom in the earth so that when you come back and rule and reign, we will rule and reign with you. And that is your word, and we are greatly looking forward to that. Thank you that we're getting practice and learning how to communicate with the kingdom-mindedness right now. And we give you praise and honor and glory for your call on our lives. We praise you, Lord. Let's stand in his presence. He's a great God and greatly to be praised. Jimmy, would you please lead us before we go?